Hi, welcome. You're listening to a Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. Seek the Truth is a Bible media site bringing to our audience truth you can trust exclusively from the Bible. Our aim is not only to explain the teaching of the Bible, but more specifically to introduce people to the person of Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. Jesus is interested in your life. In fact, the Bible states he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That means you and I. But equally, you have the responsibility to seek the Lord while he may be found. You may find all of this hard to get your head around, but the Lord Jesus can be known personally in your life. But more of that will be explained as we go along. For quite a while now, we've been concentrating exclusively on an item called Dr. Luke's Diaries. I'll explain that one when we come to it. However, our podcast is growing both in terms of listeners and content. From now on, we'll be presenting it in a magazine style of podcast, and as a result, a number of issues will be covered each week. We appreciate having your company and look forward to you joining us each week. Watch this space for some developments and changes. We hope you find what you hear is helpful. Please give us some feedback through the webpage seekthetruth.org.uk. So what have we got for you this week? Well, we'll have a short news item, then we'll move on to Dr. Luke's Diaries. We've a little item we're going to do each week, questions we all ask, and then we've got a lawyer's case for Christianity, and then we'll end up obviously with some concluding comments. So let's get started. News. I read today, or should I say earlier this week, in a newspaper that in the 1980s, adultery, homosexuality, sadomasochism, and the abuse of children were things that societal ethics indicated were unacceptable. The case was stated by Patricia Hewitt, who was a former UK Labour cabinet minister, and she stated that both liberals and more religious types failed to place the sexual abuse of children in a category of its own. And thus the result is the present coming to the surface of gross abuse, especially in the higher echelons of society. The excuse being that there was a tolerance then of what we look upon as deviant now. Is this not the consistent problem that we reap in a society that feels that it has the moral authority to create, adjust, and then recreate its own ethics and moral code? Will society decide that the abuse of children is acceptable in 30 years' time? I trust and pray that they will not. In the same way, many justify the abortion of the unborn child as ethical. Some would even say, in certain circumstances, it is okay to kill the newborn child. Where will we stop? Sin is sin, and ethics were defined by God in the Bible, and if we live by them, we would have a far safer and saner society. The question is, do we have the will or the power to do so? Well, there is a way, but that's the tale and the story that we tell in our podcast. So listen on. Dr. Luke's Diaries. One of the items we are currently working on is a series called Dr. Luke's Diaries. Dr. Luke was a physician who recorded stories about the life of Jesus. Ernest Renan, who lived from 1823 to 1892, was a French philosopher, historian, scholar of religion, and he's recorded a saying about the Gospel of Luke. Now, my French isn't very good, but we'll try it. Le plus beau livre que l'ait. The English translation of this phrase is the most beautiful book that exists. Quite a statement. Historians also tell us that Dr. Luke is a great historian. Sir William M. Ramsay, he lived 1851 to 1939, was one such historian. Sir William was educated at the universities of Aberdeen in Scotland and at Oxford. In his theological pursuits, however, he had fallen victim to the radical theories of the German critics such as F.C. Bauer. He came to question the historical accuracy of the New Testament. He thus decided that he would do on-site research in some of the Bible lands, where he fully expected to disprove the scriptures in numerous particulars. Accordingly, in 1890 he set out on his adventure. As he examined the historical references in the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts, amazingly he discovered that time after time the biblical writers were correct. And the modernistic criticisms that had been hurled against the sacred volume were baseless. And so in 1895 he wrote a book titled St. Paul the Traveller and Roman Citizen, in which he strongly defended the accuracy of the inspired historian Luke, relative to the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts. This information is provided courtesy of the Christian Courier website. Today we are looking at Luke 19 verses 1 to 10, which describes a strange incident of an important but unpopular man becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. Let me read to you the section. Luke 19 verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press or the crowd, because he was of little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that was the Bible that we're reading from. And it's a precious book. We believe God blesses the reading of it. You know, Jesus was only passing through Jericho. He was on his way somewhere else. And this man grasped the opportunity to meet him. Maybe in your life, God is speaking. You need to grasp the opportunity. You need to take advantage of the time when God speaks. There's a little record in the autobiography of Duncan Ballantyne, who in the United Kingdom is a well-known businessman. He states that God spoke to him at a stage in his life, but he didn't listen. And he's never heard the voice again, he said. I'm not saying God won't speak again. But be like Zacchaeus, take advantage of the opportunity when God speaks. Now, Zacchaeus was rich. He was successful, but he wasn't happy. It's patently obvious from his desire to see Jesus and to a man of his age and status to climb a tree and to hide himself. And then, of course, to see his response to the Lord Jesus saying to him, you know, that he'll come to his house. He responds by admitting his dishonesty, his corruption, and restoring and making amends. It's the evidence. It's not the way he became a Christian. It's not the way he became a follower of Christ. It's the result of, don't get mixed up on that one, working and being good and living a good life and doing better won't make you a Christian. But if you know what it is to confess your sin and to trust in Christ as Saviour, the result should be there will be a change in the way you behave and the way you live. I suppose we learn from the fact he was rich and successful that life doesn't mean, those things in life don't mean that you're happy. Jesus said one day, life, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Now, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Now, was this a fascination or, you know, just to see this great famous man who did miracles? Or did he realise his life was in a mess? I guess from the result of the story, there must be the latter. It must have been a humbling experience for him to go out into the street, to join the crowd, to kind of push and shove and to try and see him and then eventually to go off and climb a tree. It does take effort. It does involve choice coming to Christ. It does mean that you need to make a decision to follow Jesus. And there is persistence involved in coming to God. You know, he hid in a tree, but Jesus knew where he was and he stopped. It's quite amazing, isn't it? It says, Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus. How did Jesus know his name? How did Jesus know the tree he was in? How did he know to stop? Well, he's the Son of God, he knows everything. And he knows your circumstances as well. And he knows the circumstances of your heart. He knows how you're getting on. But notice the response. Zacchaeus, he comes down quickly out of the tree, receives Jesus joyfully, and he goes with him back home. He obeyed Jesus. The Lord Jesus said to him, Today I must abide at your house. He obeyed him. And he received him into his home and into his life as well. What about you? Do you admit that you need a change of life? That there would be the need of conversion to God, forgiveness for wrong? Would you receive Christ into your life? John, one of the other New Testament writers, records in chapter 1, verse 12 of his Gospel, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name." Receiving Christ is the same as believing on his name. That is to trust him, to confess your dependence upon him, to admit that you can't be right with God or forgiven without his death and his resurrection, to receive him, to accept him, to confess him as your Lord and Saviour. Now, the story ends with one of the key quotes that we use on our podcast, Luke 19, verse 10, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." I do really trust that you would respond to that invitation. "Come unto me," Jesus said. He came to seek for you. What is your response to him? Now, moving on to our section, questions we all ask. Have you ever heard people say just what has gone wrong with this world? As we watch the television or read the news, we constantly hear of murders, abuse, cruelty, and a constant stream of evil. The most unlikely people commit these crimes. We'd like to think that we would not do these things, but can we be so sure? Why is it like this? Does it have to be like this? Contrary to popular belief, the Bible states that we all do wrong. It states all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible explains that the evil in the world came as a result of one man's actions long ago. The Bible says, "By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." The Bible says that we are in danger. That's bad news. But it's the truth. God doesn't lie. He cannot lie, the Bible says. If we were left to die in our sins, it would be a pretty sad affair. But there is good news. It's what our podcast is all about. Seeking the truth. Truth that you can trust. The Bible states God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God can save each of us because the Lord Jesus suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. So I guess I'm turning the question back, not just what has gone wrong with the world, but would you turn from your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today, for that's the only way the world will change, when individuals turn to God for salvation. Now, we're moving on to our item, a lawyer's case for Christianity. It's really about Paul and the letter to the Roman church, the church in the city of Rome. A significant part of the New Testament takes the form of letters. J.B. Phillips, who was a Bible translator, claimed that the reason for this is that letters, when written, do not set out to make political or historical statements. And because of their personal nature, they actually are more authentic. There was no propaganda involved in writing the letter. Today we're starting to look at the letter to the Romans in the New Testament. I'm calling it a lawyer's case for Christianity. So this week I'd like to talk to you about the author. Well, the author is really God, but he somehow allowed men to write in their own personal style, drawing from their skills and experience, and yet they still communicated God's message, which is evident when you have studied the Bible as a whole over many years. A man called Paul is the human author. He was a very clever man. He was of Hebrew ancestry, but he was a free-born Roman citizen. He was educated and had studied in Jerusalem under an impressive tutor, Gamaliel. When we're introduced to Paul, he's originally called Saul, which could be a bit confusing. So let me just read to you what F.F. Bruce, the Bible scholar, states. Saul was born into an Orthodox Jewish family, and as his father was a Roman citizen, he inherited this distinction of having two names, a rare one among Eastern Jews. The distinction also was, of course, of being a Jew and a Roman. In Jewish circles, he bore the name of Saul, but in the Gentile world, he was commonly known by his Roman cognomen Paulus, which is anglicised as Paul. But in family circles, he was probably known by his Jewish name, Saul. We'll talk about him as Paul. Paul was extremely opposed to Jesus. He thought that he was a total imposter and that his death by crucifixion was entirely appropriate. Little did he know that one day he would regard Jesus as the Son of God who loved him and had personally died for him. You can read the account of the conversion of Saul in Acts chapter 9, chapter 22 and chapter 26. This man loved telling people how he became a Christian. We coined the phrase a Damascus Road experience. Well, this is where the term comes from. Saul had a dramatic conversion when he realised that Jesus was alive, that he is the Son of God, and that he is the Saviour of the world. The letter of Romans was written to explain the truth of the gospel to the Christians who lived in Rome. As we work our way through this New Testament letter, we will see the brilliant mind of Paul. We'll see the sad truth of human depravity. We will come across the wonder of God's grace and the provision of salvation through Jesus Christ. So keep listening. It's a fascinating and important truth that can be trusted. You start the very letter by reading these words. It's the gospel of God concerning his Son. And we would love you to come into the enjoyment of that good news that God provides concerning his Son as Saviour of the world. Well, we're drawing to a close. Closing comments. What have we covered today? Well, I suppose we've covered maybe four or five things. Number one, society is gradually corrupting morals. Number two, if you seek God, no matter who you are, you can be safe and secure in salvation. Number three, the world has gone wrong because of sin. And number four, dramatic conversions do actually happen. Number five, the truth is out there and can be trusted, which is the whole point of our podcast and our Bible media provision. Please remember this verse. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Now, you've been listening to a Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. More information and contact details can be found on our webpage, seekthetruth.org.uk. Thanks for listening. Come again soon.